Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, maybe it's time for Dabo Swinney and Clemson just to break up already. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You've been watching college football, Pearl. You know that Clemson had really high expectations coming into this season because they kind of out of nowhere won the ACC last year. You know, that was a little bit of a surprise. They lost in the college football playoff in the first round. But in this day and age, where transfers are happening at the most rapid pace we've ever seen, Clemson was bringing back a lot of their own guys, especially at key positions. So there was obviously high hopes. They're ranked inside the top five, and they're off to a 1-2 start.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Dabo Swinney had to go on the defensive and kind of more like on the offensive. And I listened to this entire thing. It was 15 minutes of Dabo Swinney going back through Pearl every single year, basically, that he's been the head coach at Clemson, and he's been there for 18 years. It was a lot. And he was really defending his record and the amount of winning they've done. So it was a lot. It felt kind of personal, actually. So let's play a little from Dabo Swinney. He says Clemson can let go of him, but only if they're tired of winning.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking. Is that good? I don't know if that's good or not.
Okay, more from Dabo.
Is that bad?
Really rattling off his resume and Clemson's success and says the program's built to last. Have a little faith.
Win the league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. This is a program built to last, always has been, always will be.
And as for Dabo, kind of ended on this note, Pearl, again, after 15 minutes, ended on this note that if the fans and the administrators, this was not just about the fans, he was talking to the powers that be at Clemson as well in this press conference, if he does get fired, he's not going to the beach.
Hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while. I got a long way to go. I'm just getting going. I'm just now good enough to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, listen, Dabo's convincing. I'm going to give him that. He's convincing in this 15 minutes, right? You start thinking back to the good days of Clemson, and he's rattling these things off. 8 out of 10 years they've been ACC champs. 7 out of 10 years they made the playoffs. 4 national championship games. 2 national championships. All of that stuff. But I think what he's not understanding here, or he doesn't want to acknowledge, is that, first of all, Nick Saban changed everything for everybody because I think fans now expect that if you got a little taste of that winning, you should be winning consistently, right? So he's a little victim of his success. But also, there's other things that people are ticked off about with Dabo Swinney, not using the transfer portal enough, even though now he is dipping his toe into it. And also, you had this amazing run of quarterbacks where you had quarterbacks on quarterbacks.
Right.
And Cade Klubnik has not looked like he was the heir apparent to like Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and now Cade Klubnik. It doesn't look like he has what those two other guys had.
Why would that be Dabo's fault, though?
Well, because you can go into the portal now and you can get quarterbacks. Oh. Like, why couldn't they get John Mateer? Why couldn't they, you know?
Well,
but we didn't
Cade,
know that Cade was not going to be.
He's the number one quarterback coming into the season
and
by a mile.
Right. And, you know, when Kelly Bryant was the starting quarterback and then he couldn't play and wasn't living up to expectations, they went to Trevor Lawrence and had him ready to go and won a national championship as a freshman.
Yeah. Is there a Trevor Lawrence sitting behind Kate Klubnik that I didn't know about?
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's where Dabo's kind of missing the point of what the fan, why the fan base is fed up. And listen, after 17 seasons, although it's really like 18, you know, at the end of the year, if he, maybe it's just time for a breakup. You know, it's
well,
a
let
long
me ask you a question.
Time to be at one place.
But you have to look at Clemson. You can't ignore, like, who is Clemson before Dabo got there? And why? What is there about Clemson that makes that a natural school to be a national title contender? They shouldn't be. There's no reason that Clemson should. You're talking about Alabama. Alabama had Bear Bryant. Who is Clemson before Dabo Swinney? They had no right to win two titles at all. It's just like, the, have you ever been to Clemson? There's no town there. It's in the ACC, for God's sakes. It's not a basketball team. Like, it's not Florida State. Like, there's no reason they should be winning national titles anyway. Like, Dabo did this.
Right. So he gets a contract for life?
Yeah. And Clemson for sure. Like, there's no, I'm telling you right now, they are not built to be a powerhouse.
Okay, but a couple things have changed. One, they did put a lot of money into the facilities there.
Because of Dabo.
Well, right, but they are in the ACC, which you would think is, I don't say easier. I hate when we do that, right? Because there's talent everywhere, and the talent is even getting more spread out now with NIL. So, but yeah, you are, you know, maybe a little bit easier path if you're in the ACC as opposed to the SEC or maybe the Big Ten. And, you know, I think that there is a possibility that everyone's kind of sick of each other, right? Because Dabo here is not giving an inch. He's basically standing up and telling the fan base and the administrators, you should be lucky to have me. You should feel lucky to have me. And, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else and I'll ram it down your throat. It's kind of what he's saying. Like, I'll go somewhere else and make you look bad. These are like veiled threats that are happening in this press conference amidst him talking about joy and, you know, his faith and all of that stuff. Like, that's a threat at the end. I'm not going to the beach. I'm going to go somewhere else, and presumably I could come back and kick your butt.
By the way, I know it sounds so funny. You're like, you think Dabo has a lifetime contract? That's how college football was for 80% of college football's existence. Like, nobody was going to ever fire Bobby Bowden or Joe Paterno or Tom Osborne. Like, yeah, I think Dabo would be a guy, like, if Clemson, you know, if he wants to spend his career at Clemson, I would think that makes sense. Like, who are they going to bring in?
Well, it's not about that. I think that you can't really go back to the Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno days because college football is beyond long gone.
But,
because there wasn't a college football playoff 12-team bracket that may go up to 16 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, Bowden and Paterno would have done even better if that was the case.
No, I'm saying that wasn't always the goal, though. Like, college football and the goal of college football has changed. It was always, you know, for the very, very top programs to win a title, but it was weird how they even, for many years, how they even determined who was playing in the championship game. People would get screwed out of it. There are times people would say, I'm the national champion. No, I'm the national champion. It's very different. Bowl games used to mean something back in the day. It's completely changed now where it's only about the college football playoff. That's it.
So that means you have to change coaches all the time? But the same goal is to, you know, for most of Bobby Bowden's time at Florida State, the goal was championship or bust.
But you could go to another bowl and everyone would be playing in it, not just getting ready for the NFL combine. And
were miserable if they lost a game. Like, the whole fan base was miserable, but they still didn't move on. Like, if they had an 8-3 season and went to the Gator Bowl or whatever, like, when they used to call bowls the actual names.
Yeah.
Like, nobody in Florida State was happy with that, but they weren't like, let's find a new coach. It is definitely a modern phenomenon that you have to, I think the transfer portal has leaked into the coaching idea. Like, Kalen DeBoer's 14 games in, everyone's like, who we get next?
I think it's everything sped up. And I'm thinking about Dabo Swinney, like, believe it or not, you know, time is crazy. There are guys now that he's recruiting who were babies when he started there, right? Like, and you're getting now the last time, obviously they went to the college football playoff last year, but the last time they were in the championship game was 2019. Like, it's not... There are just shorter memories. And Dabo yesterday having to go through his resume line by line to remind people of the good old days kind of feels like if you have to do that and you have this status that you're talking about, Pearl, where you're one of the best coaches in the country, you shouldn't have to go line by line through your resume. Like,
I think the one line in that soundbite there, I mean, what did he say? He's won 8 out of 10 times?
ACC titles.
I mean, that's pretty good.
I know. Seven out of 10 years being in the playoff. Yeah, yeah. He says, the athletic director who, you know, would... he said something like, find me an athletic director who wouldn't want that. It's like, clearly he's feeling the heat, not just from the fans and the super fans who call into radio shows.
I just can't
going
see
to the beach.
I can't see Clemson improving in the post Dabo era. I just, it's just a very competitive field right now. I mean, listen, in the ACC alone, you have Miami coming up. I hate to admit this because I don't want EJ to hear this. They look like a superpower this year.
Yep.
You have SMU is only going to get better. It feels like Duke and North Carolina all of a sudden want to spend money like crazy. We'll see if it's not working right now. But I feel like the ACC is just going to get harder and harder. It's not going to be like Dabo's prime time in the 2010s. So I don't know who the next coach is, but I can't imagine he's going to have an easy path to a national title. Like, again, I think it's a miracle that Dabo won two titles. If you told me as in 1999 that Clemson was going to become a powerhouse, I'd be like, Clemson, you mean Clemson Tigers?
Yeah, but Pearl, like, he also had two quarterbacks that were, you know, have gone on, you know, Deshaun Watson, despite all the other stuff, was a phenomenal quarterback in the NFL. And Trevor Lawrence, we'll see.
But to his credit, like, he recruited all the other, he recruited DJU, number one recruit in the class, and they recruited Kate Klubnik by a mile, the number one recruit. So he's getting the top quarterbacks. So, like, but nothing wrong with the process there.
So that's another interesting thing I was wondering about for Dabo. So DJU and Cade Klubnik. And let's say this season continues to kind of just be that kind of unimpressive, quite frankly, for Klubnik, considering what the expectations were. So now you would have had back-to-back quarterbacks that fell short with DJU and Cade Klubnik. And how does that impact things moving forward? So we're in South Carolina, 888-710-4ISN. Yeah. Curious, should Dabo and Clemson just divorce? I mean, 18 years, it's not bad. Maybe it's time to go somewhere else.
What do you mean Cade Klubnik fell short, though? Because he was great last year. Like, so he's had a good career. He's bad this year.
Expecting more. We're talking about this year. This is when Dabo's doing this. He's having to defend his record right now.
Right.
And do you see a big turnaround from them, by the way?
Well, last year I didn't see it either, and they got to the college football playoff with three losses. So I'm not totally counting them out. If they can get to that ACC title game, I'm not counting them out at all. I mean, it'd be kind of silly to after what happened last year. As long as they can get there. Now, it's going to be, I think Miami's a bit of a problem for them. What do they play? They play this year, right? Or am I imagining that?
EJ, Clemson on the schedule for you?
Or they play somebody.
No Clemson in Miami this year.
Who does Clemson has one really hard game coming up at some point this year. Maybe Notre Dame.
They have South Carolina They have South Carolina as their annual game.
Yeah, their traditional rival.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I mean, honestly, Maggie, let me answer this question. Do you think they have a better solution than Dabo Swinney? They have Florida State, by the way.
Yes, that's the next ranked
game. Do you think, like, who's next? Like, how do you take over for that program? I'm not sure it's an easy answer.
Listen,
I mean, look at Alabama. They struggled to find a guy to replace Saban. I think the same thing would happen there.
Day by day.
It's possible, but why do you think Dabo Swinney had to stand up there for 15 minutes going line by line? And again, this was not for Jeff and Myrtle Beach or whoever that caller was from those years ago who called out Dabo Swinney in the coach's show, and then I don't think he ever did that show again.
Because Dabo's been doing the version of this speech for 10 years. Even when they were winning titles, Dabo was doing this speech.
But he's talking to the administrators.
Yeah, he's been talking to everybody. This is pure Dabo. This is like, we've seen this exact speech before. He's like the most defensive coach of all time.
But if everything's going great and you're feeling appreciated and you feel like you're a legend on campus or whatever, and you're one of these Bobby Bowden, Joe Paterno types, and I know Paterno had a lot of other stuff at the end, totally understand that. But if you're one of the Bobby Bowden, you know, the lifers, then why are you basically daring the administration to fire you? I mean, his buyout's insane, so I don't know, this is empty, but why are you standing up there and doing that at 1-2? You're supposed to be the steady ship.
Welcome to the... I heard Greg McElroy say this on ESPN yesterday. Welcome to the Dabo experience. This is
maybe
who he is.
People are getting sick of it.
We all know who Dabo is. Maybe. I mean, obviously, the media, I think, has always had issues with Dabo for good reason, probably. But I don't know. I feel like Clemson, be careful what you wish for.
888-710-4ISN. Yes, EJ, take your Miami hat off.
Yeah, I'm taking it off. There's no blue and orange, no throwing up to you. My question, though, is, like, is there any scenario where Dabo puts them back to where they're, like, where they were when they had Deshaun and those guys? Like,
yeah, they were the number three team in the country entering.
No, but I mean, like, when they actually get on the field, being a paper champion is one thing. Like,
well, yeah,
Clemson used to really kick your ass when you played against them.
They had 11 of the 22 all-ACC players had a tiger paw next to them on the list.
Like, it looked terrible. It was. I said on the show, that was ridiculous. Remember,
but
I did
also,
say that.
Why do they look not... Why do they look? Why was Georgia Tech able to do that?
I think Dabo's strength has always been in his coordinators, and he lost Tony Elliott, and he lost Venables, and yeah. I don't think he's ever recovered. Does it look like they the defense has been okay, I guess, but does the offense look like they've recovered?
They made the playoff last year.
That was a back in.
Yeah.
They had to win a game in a conference championship game where a team from Dallas had to go play in the cold. I don't put a lot of stock in that game. I don't.
And to be totally honest, like they actually looked okay against Ohio State, right?
It was Texas.
Yeah. Oh, they lost. Yeah, I couldn't remember which game they played in the first round. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Clemson, like, why would Clemson again be a national power? Like, after he leaves, is anyone putting them in the top five? Not at all.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So you got Dabo Swinney at the mic yesterday. Should they just get a divorce at this point? I don't know. Curious what you guys think about this. The time just basically run its course. Sometimes guys coach someplace for 30 years and sometimes they don't.
I mean, if you're at University of Florida, do you want Dabo Swinney?
Yes.
I would think so too. But it's interesting, right? Like he's never coached anywhere else. This is the only place he's had success. Does that success transfer over? Especially when he has this mindset that I don't take transfers.
Yeah, I would say I'm not sure Florida wants him. I mean, maybe they do, but like they need a whole new team, like ASAP. Like,
is he gonna accept a whole new team? Again, he doesn't. He barely.
That's what I mean. Like, Dabo does not feel like a fit there because that feels like somebody's got to come in and do a Deion and say you're all cut.
Basically,
you guys come in and that ain't gonna be Dabo.
Well, I mean, everyone always, you know, basically pencils him into Alabama. You think that fan base is gonna go for a, you know, light on transfers also? If you feel like you have a chance to get somebody big.
I don't feel like, yeah, Dabo coming off a low doesn't feel like a great fit for Alabama either, right? That'd be a funny hire.
Well, let's see what happens with Kalen DeBoer. 888-710-4ISN. Look good against Wisconsin. We'll see. 888-710-4476. Let us know if you want to weigh in on college football, and we'll get to the Heisman. Perloff and I doing some early.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Heisman stuff in just a moment. Coming up, did the NFL kind of miss the mark here with Tom Brady? We'll get to that next. M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I like to think that I know how Roger Goodell thinks, the NFL commissioner. Somebody in Park Avenue, whether it's Roger, did not like what happened during the Raiders-Chargers game.
Okay.
They were not happy that the broadcast showed Tom Brady wearing a tie in the coach's booth with a headset on.
Yep.
Because they, this offseason, tried to quietly make sure that Tom Brady, as the lead color analyst on Fox, could meet with teams before games. They kind of slid that in there in August. Because last year, they said it's a conflict of interest. Now they have a visual. And once you have video, Maggie, the whole gig is blown.
Yeah, no one knows that more than the NFL.
I think everybody knows. Now no one is going to be able to forget. He's going to be doing a game on Fox. And people are going to be thinking, oh, that's a guy that was in the Raiders coaching staff. I don't know how many people actually watch that game because it was on so late at night on the East Coast. But I do think that was bad because now the visual is going to be associated with Tom Brady when he's trying to do games for Fox, and he's not even that good to start with, so the whole thing is getting way too messy. And Goodell's like, what the heck's going on here? I'm sure.
Yeah, the NFL had to put out a statement yesterday.
Yeah.
Saying, and it was funny because part of the statement, and I'm sorry, I misspoke yesterday. He is not allowed to go to practice. He has to do the production calls, but he has to do them remotely. He's not allowed in
someone else's building.
No, he can, but he can still do the production calls.
Oh, I thought that was the change of rule that he's allowed to go to the building.
That's what I thought. And so this whole thing, it just underscores that you and I are in this in the nitty gritty every single day, and we were even unsure about it.
Was this one of the problems attacked at the conference?
Well, no, yesterday at the conference. Although I was there with Eric Shanks, who was, I wasn't there with him, but he was one of the speakers there, who's the president of the head of Fox Sports. But anyway, and he did not comment on this, like literally gave them a no comment.
Yeah, I saw that.
Here's the thing about it. I think there's a couple things here. I think if you're just a fan who loves football and just loves to sit on your couch on Sunday and watch the NFL and your fantasy team and all that, you probably don't care. But I do think there's a big slice of the football world that just has kind of no love for Tom Brady, even if you respect the hell out of him. And kind of has no love for the Raiders. You know, the Raiders are not exactly like lovable losers. They haven't had a lot of success in a long time, but they also have not taken on like a, like, oh, you know, I can't wait for the Raiders to be awesome again.
Or the Raiders.
I don't know why, but they don't occupy that space. So I think there's a little something about, you know, Tom Brady symbolizes to a lot of people, yes, excellence and championships and all that. But a lot of people didn't like how the Patriots went about their business. It always felt a little shady and a little underhanded and a little fast and loose with the rules. And now it's like a continuation of that. With, you're right, this visual of, oh my gosh, there's Tom Brady right behind Chip Kelly with a headset on. Like, wait a minute. I didn't know that he was going to be involved like that.
Yeah.
And so I think there's like a no love loss for Brady. And I don't think people have a lot of love unless you are a Raider fan.
Yeah.
And I know there's tons of Raider fans, and they're coast to coast. It's not just in California and Vegas. But I don't think people, like, love them in that way. Mark Davis is kind of a doofus, or at least he appears that way. We've never met him. But, like, I just don't think people are willing to give the Raiders the benefit of the doubt either.
See, I disagree with your first point. I do think people care about Tom Brady. I think there's, I mean, most shallow, I mean, most casual fans are star-driven. Like, that's like why, that's why the Travis Kelce thing has taken off so much. Like, there are certain names that move the needle. Shedeur Sanders, Tom Brady, Travis Kelce, Caleb Williams.
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think people care about, Aaron Rodgers, a good one. I don't think people care about the procedural thing about an owner and stuff, but Tom Brady gets a lot of eyeballs. So I do think people actually care about this story.
But he's not suiting up anymore. That's what I...
Yeah, but nobody cares. Like, I think it's fun to dunk on Tom Brady. Okay. I think that goes way beyond. I think people are into that. And the Raiders, you're right, the Raiders are obviously... they've been a laughingstock. They went from the John Gruden thing to, you know, Mark Davis with his haircut. Like, they definitely are on the... They haven't won since 2001. So, yeah, nobody... I don't think the Raiders are respected in that sense because they just haven't won lately. But yeah, I don't think this is any small deal. I think because Brady is, there's a reason Fox paid him $37 million a year, because casual fans are all about Tom Brady. Like, this is a big deal that he's their lead analyst. He's actually a much bigger deal than Tony Romo as a guy. Tony Romo was a good quarterback. Tom Brady's a GOAT.
Yeah.
So I think this is all headed somewhere for the NFL. I think this is going to be a pain in Roger Goodell's neck.
Interesting. 888-710-4ISN. I'd love to know from football fans. EJ, can we throw a poll up? Do you care if Tom Brady is working closely? I don't know. How do you want to do
doing
this?
Doing double duty as a broadcaster and a team executive.
Do you care about it? Because, again, I just think that these are two people who... just not a lot of love lost. Like, if you don't like Brady and if you don't like the Patriots and how they went about their... business, then you'd already maybe don't love Brady, even if you respect him. And then also for the Raiders, I don't think people are rushing to the defense of the Raiders, right? Like,
so you think people care?
Well, I think people like us care. I'm curious if you're somebody who just wants football as an escape from your life. Football is our life. This is our job. We watch this stuff and we are really into the nitty-gritty of salary caps and draft picks. And if you're just sitting on your couch, do you actually care about it? Do you just want to say, listen, leave me alone with this stuff. I don't care. Just let me watch the football.
I bet you care wins this poll Decidedly.
You think so? Like what, 80-20 type thing?
I think it's a 60-40.
All right. You guys think the same?
I think so. I think it wins close. Yeah. You said 60-40?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I wish we had done this poll like 2 weeks ago, because I think people's opinions changed, or opinions were created by the video of him.
Yeah,
Monday
that's
night.
Kind of what I said. I think visual.
Something changed. Because, I mean, have you guys ever seen any other owner do that?
Well, you were saying well, you saw the Colts owner on the sideline. Woman.
Yeah, that Queen Carly
Ursay's daughter is wearing a headset.
On the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, Arthur Blank is famously on the sidelines. I don't know why he keeps doing that.
It's well, like, he's certainly very far from a headset.
No, yeah. I know, but you did that, and then your team blew the biggest lead in Super Bowl history. Yeah. Like, you can never go to the field. Are you not superstitious? There's not even a little bit?
Yeah. But he's always on the sideline.
Jerry is the GM, I mean, but he doesn't even put on a headset.
Right, but, like, he would be the guy that we would have seen already in a sea of, like, polos and hats and Microsoft Surface and headsets, and then him in a suit in the last seed looking completely out of place. And he's never done that.
Well, he's doing this off vibes.
You know what the cherry on top was? Maggie pointed something out yesterday's show. Not only was he wearing a headset, he had the little speaker thing that went in front, so he could actually have
the microphone.
Input. Yeah, yeah.
So coach's headset.
Yeah. That is the visual.
So lame.
Like a talk back that's like, yo, P. Carroll.
Right, he wasn't just listening. TB here.
Yeah, now that there's video, this whole situation is headed towards some sort of conclusion, I think. I don't think this is going to last. He's going to have to choose.
Except they basically wrote him a blank check yesterday.
The NFL
completely defended him yesterday.
Okay, now if you're Tom Brady,
shocker.
If you're Tom Brady, you do not let that happen again then, right? Like, you have to fade into the background and do it from a back room.
I mean, he did it yesterday when people were already at least a little bothered by this.
Well, how many times is he going to be able to do this? How many primetime games do the Raiders have?
Yeah, I went right to this.
He has a job. So
the Raiders will have, they have the Broncos midseason on November 11th on Thursday Night Football.
Mm.
And then the following Monday, they have the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Mm. Those will be the only other two primetime games. Imagine he pulls this against the Cowboys.
Broncos, he likes attention.
I don't think he will go to the Broncos game. But imagine he pulls this against the Cowboys at home.
Tom Brady seems to love the camera lately. I mean, he'll show up at the car dealership opening in Sheboygan.
Tom Brady, one of those wacky guys next to him.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady.
Inflatable tube, Ben.
Tom Brady cannot stay away from the camera right now. That Cowboys game is going to be tempting to him.
You know, I was thinking about this when we were talking about, so Tom Brady was, you know, obviously caught on camera Monday Night Football in the coach's box with a headset on 10 feet away from Chip Kelly, and it kind of hit people a different way. And EJ, you said yesterday, basically, Tom Brady, pick a side. Either go to the ownership / front office or do the broadcasting, not this weird in the middle. You know what, or get off the pot, right? Like, do pickling. So I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, you know, I don't know if I want Tom Brady to go away necessarily, because we do get access to, like, Tom Brady's mind. And, you know, in theory, being able to hear him expound on football is a good thing and should be enlightening for all of us. And then I started thinking, I'm like, well, has Brady said anything interesting in all these podcast appearances and all these games that he's doing and weekly interview with Colin Cowherd, free shout out to them. And, like, I can't remember, is there one nugget that he said where I was like, man, I would never have known that.
That thing about team building that he said at the conference, that was really interesting, about how quarterbacks aren't developed the right way anymore.
Yeah, basically just called out college football.
Yeah, yeah, that was, I think Tom Brady's really good, except when he's doing games. Hmm. I think he's always very interesting. He's obviously very smart. The other thing, too, is like Fox has had an inconsistent approach. Like, why he was on a 1 o'clock Giants Commanders game in week one. I'm like, why is he doing that? Was his game, right? Or am I imagining that?
No, but it was because the late game was a CBS thing. So I don't think they ever put those two teams up against each other.
Yeah, you had to explain that to me like three times.
Yeah.
It does feel like, here's the weird thing for me. I watch a lot of Red Zone too. Tom Brady kind of sounds like every other broadcaster. Right, like he doesn't distinguish
himself.
Fox
doesn't have primetime games.
Yeah.
They have the 4 o'clock window, but they don't do night games except when they have the Super Bowl. So he's never really getting a standalone.
Yeah, but he didn't even do, why would he not even do two good teams at week one?
Oh, no, Brady was he was on Eagles Chiefs. He was
last week he was Eagles Chiefs, but week one,
Oh, I thought you were talking about
I just think that, I don't understand when Romo and Brady do 1 o'clock games and then they just get in the mix. Like, and Brady feels like, you're right, he does not stand out as a color analyst.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, do I want, you know, would my life be worse if Tom Brady goes to the front office and we never get to hear him comment on football again.
He should. That's what I want to see. I want to see him become a GM. I know John Spytek is a GM there. Like, I want to see him go all in on the Raiders and see what they can do, not be half in. Because he's doing nothing for me as a broadcaster.
And I'll be honest, I don't think it's good for the Raiders that he's half in.
I don't think
you're getting the full Brady. I think if you really want to glean his knowledge and glean his idea on team building, he needs to be running the team. I don't think he could be, hey man, I know we haven't talked in a week, but like, what do you think of this? Even though the team that's been working on whatever transaction or player, they've been studying this, you know, up right. and down, and Tom Brady, who's been working on getting ready for the Chiefs game or whatever, is like, oh, here's my opinion. To me, that somehow rattling the cages of what's going on in the Raiders front office, if I was a Raiders fan, I wouldn't feel good about that.
Well, we got the report from Peter Schrager that he's on the phone with Chip Kelly 2 to 3 times a week.
Which, that actually would make me feel, in a weird way, better than what Pete Carroll was saying, which is he's like not really talking to them.
Well, Pete Carroll walked it back. But think about the people in your life that you talk to 2 to 3 times a week.
But think about how much energy goes into a game plan for Sunday. 2 to 3 conversations with Chip Kelly. That's more like what EJ described. That's like half in and half out. That's just like you're in here enough to make some noise, but you're not in here enough to really impact wins and losses. Like, I want to see him, unless Tom Brady is secretly all in, I want to see him all in.
Like, I assume Tom Brady, and I think we've heard this, I mean, he's a maniacal, like, study guy. Like, he knows exactly what the other team is going to do. He's, you know, maybe not Peyton Manning in terms of the legacy of the preparation, but he's great when it comes to that. If he is doing just, I'm talking to you once or twice a week, or even 3 times, and Chip Kelly, in theory, is supposed to be watching and studying these guys 24/7, what are you going to learn from Tom Brady that's going to really help you? I would rather him just be on a coaching staff or as a general manager.
But let's get to Bogish. Sorry, let's leave the conversation there. Sorry, Bogues, but let's get to your update. I don't want to shortchange you like we did last hour. What do you got?
Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. A bigger dumper than usual. Does anybody know if Carson Wentz is also a running back? The Vikings have reportedly placed Aaron Jones on IR with a hamstring injury, so he'll miss at least 4 games. That's on top of J.J. McCarthy's multi-week absence thanks to that high ankle sprain. And
does anybody have any expectations for Minnesota anymore? Right? Like, we had some buzz about them before the year. Like, I saw the Aaron Jones and the J.J. McCarthy is an injury, quote unquote. Like, had you ever seen, like, nobody thinks the Vikings are going to do anything anymore, right? Or am I missing?
I mean, they still have a very good defense. They still get to face Jake Browning this weekend. That's, I guess, helpful.
Bogues, you still think the J.J. McCarthy injury is a little fugazi?
Well, I mean, they have a time where he did twist his ankle in the game. It did feel, when it first came out, like out of nowhere. Like, a high ankle sprain that's a bad one. Usually that's a very visible thing, and a guy's like on the turf writhing around in pain. And so
limping off.
Yeah. So like, when he finished the game and all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, his ankle hurts, it almost felt like when a pitcher who's struggling all of a sudden has like shoulder fatigue.
Yeah.
And he gets a 15-day IL like reset. It almost felt like, oh, his ankle hurts, he's going to sit out for 2 weeks, which is not us benching him, but it's a chance for him to like maybe kind of get a grip on stuff.
You think something nefarious is going on?
Well, I mean, now that they at least have a time stamp on when he twisted his ankle. Mm.
I don't know. He's played 8 quarters, and seven of them have looked like crap.
Yes.
What else you got?
Right. They don't want to pull him and kill his confidence. Right. I totally agree.
There's Sean McVay as well, who sounds more like us than an elite athlete, getting hurt doing something fairly mundane. The Rams head coach tore his plantar fascia during Sunday's win over the Titans. It probably happened as he ran down the sideline to call a timeout.
Good news is I'm not playing, so I'm just on the sidelines watching. So if I have a little cool limp to add some swag, then you'll know why.
Okay. That's enough out of you.
This bothers you?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know why, but that just made me cringe a little bit.
All right.
The Seattle Mariners keep winning, and the big dumper keeps dumping.
Here's the first pitch. Swung on, hit well, center field. It's going back. Isbell at the warning track, at the wall. He has done it! Home run, Cal Raleigh! He has tied Ken Griffey Jr. for the most in Seattle Mariners history. Number 56 for Cal Raleigh.
He had two home runs last night. The first one broke his tie with Mickey Mantle for the most in a season by a switch hitter. And as you heard, the second one tied Ken Griffey Jr.'s single-season team record. He also last night had teammate Dom Canzone hitting three homers in a 12-5 rout of the Royals. Seattle's win streak is 10, but the Astros held off the Rangers 6-5, so the Mariners' lead in the AL West remains a half game.
That makes home runs.
That makes a lot of sense. Cal Raleigh, Mickey Mantle, Ken Griffey Jr., those three names really go together.
I was like, we're watching one of the greatest baseball players in the history of the sport.
All synonyms.
Yeah. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was at this front office sports conference yesterday. Maybe it was him that didn't want us to talk to Maggie anymore.
No, I missed it. I couldn't stay that late.
Silver, during his media, I don't know how to describe it, when he spoke to the panel, to the conference, he was asked about the European League that the NBA and FIBA are working on.
There you go.
He said a 2027 start would be, quote, ambitious, but any later than 2028 wouldn't be that good either. So this league is coming soon-ish.
Wait, so 27 is ambitious, but 28 is too late?
Yeah.
We better get it done by 27, because by 28, the world's going to end.
Exactly. Well, the window closes.
Yeah, so what's in between 27 and 28?
27.
June of 27?
Yeah. The zombies? Like, I don't know.
The Indiana Fever forcing a third and final game with the Dream with a 77-60 home win last night. That game 3 tomorrow night back in Atlanta. And something I didn't get to yesterday, this is Nebraska men's basketball coach Fred Hoiberg from two days ago. Press conference, giving kind of a state of the team, and something happened.
What our facilities are, they're immaculate. And just how...
What happens when the prostate enlarges and the urine
Oh, that's a dilemma. What was the can you give me the answer on that?
So somebody, a media member's phone or a computer or whatever, played an ad for prostate medication.
It wasn't his. It was someone else's.
It was somebody else's device that is accidentally had the sound up.
Is he the one who cursed?
He's the one that cursed. Okay. Yeah. He did curse.
The mayor.
That's a little revealing. That stinks for the beat guy or gal. Now, all your personal businesses out there. What are you looking
at? This is a man's phone.
That was a voicemail from a doctor saying person. It was just he touched the wrong thing on Twitter.
I understand
and it
that,
popped
but why did that individual get that ad? Because he was looking up, you know, something about the prostate. Maybe there was a little something medical going on there.
Why now, do I pee so much at night?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's a stretch. You watch a Monday night game, they have about four prostate commercials.
Right, but
does that mean that you have
I don't
some
get
issues?
Any prostate ads on YouTube or anything like that. I get ads for Monday Night Football.
It's not targeted to Manny because the tech companies know that he's in his 20s.
We're watching Murders in the Building on, and you should see they run ads, and it is... You've never seen ads targeted older people in my life. Murders in the Building, the Steve Martin Martin Short Show. It's like, this drug is for people who are between 93 and 99. It is amazing. I actually noted that the other day. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that was a disease. There's a drug for it.
They're just making stuff up now just to cure it.
Very fun show, by the way. Selena Gomez, for you, Manny.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with her work. Big fan of her in Wizards of Waverly Place.
There you go.
Yeah. Kid show.
Old school.
Oh, yeah.
Bogish, thank you very much. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. That's embarrassing. I'm trying to think of the most embarrassing ad that's ever popped up or something on any of my devices.
Don't look at the guys. Every guy's like hiding their phone. Yeah, like Maggie, I have a feeling that you do not know what could possibly pop up on a phone.
And you want to know what? I don't want to know.
My ads come out in Spanish sometimes. I love being here at work, and then all of a sudden I'll just hear an ad in Spanish, and I'll just, second instinct just kicks in.
Is a woman moaning in Spanish sound different?
Well, yes.
888-710-4ISN. Enough of that. Let's get back to football. Top of the hour. Oh. It's Wednesday, which means we will do the great debate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This one coming to us from the college ranks today, but also a question about one Super Bowl contender. Do that next, MMP. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, top of the hour. It's Wednesday, which means the great debate. Today we got something on tap for you from college football, so that will be a lot of fun. Pearl, obviously quarterback injuries are now a big storyline heading into week three. None bigger than Joe Burrow, who's going to be out for weeks now with the turf toe. Now, we're a little split on the show about whether or not the Bengals were, as EJ said, old news, or whether they were still a contender. But bottom line, did the Bengals fail Joe Burrow here? We know he's a fantastic quarterback. They never really fixed their offensive line problems. And now, boom, here he is with another injury.
Yeah, I understand the argument, but and it's probably valid. If the offensive line's so bad, how did he throw 43 touchdowns last year, 5,000 yards? There, it just is it possible that he's just one of those injury-prone guys? I guess technically they did fail him, but it's a little bit on Burrow to sort of avoid contact. I mean, we've all heard the Andrew Luck comparisons. Did the Colts fail Andrew Luck?
I think
it was both sides. Luck is injury prone.
Yeah, well, I think Luck was injured, was taking a lot of hits, couldn't protect himself, and I think Luck got hurt in the offseason also, like snowboarding, and that's not what Joe Burrow is up to here. I think Joe Burrow has to wear it in a different way. And I was critical of him this offseason when he was out front doing basically a media tour trying to get his guys signed. Now, you could say that's a good thing, or maybe he's just doing it for show or what have you. But the organization listened to him. They spent a lot of money in Ja'Marr Chase. Of course, you're going to do that. But also T. Higgins, which was a little bit more of a dicey situation. They had dragged their feet on paying him
so good though
for years. Of course he is.
Yeah.
But what does it buy you if you don't have enough invested in the offensive line and your defense is still so subpar, you know?
You look at their offensive line, like they have put resources here, like heavy resources. They've been trying. They drafted Amarius Mims, that gigantic Georgia left tackle. He's there. They paid Orlando Brown Jr., Ted Karras, Dalton Risner. Like, it's not, they've tried. Here's the other thing about the. Their defense is so bad that Joe Burrow thinks he needs to throw for 50 points every game.
Yeah, well, he actually did need to do that last year.
Yeah, and I think that's why he kind of hangs in the pocket and tries to make a lot of plays. So you can also blame the defense. Like, Burrow has so much pressure on him that he probably takes more hits than he should just to try to win every single game.
See, I don't fault him for, because what's he going to do? Like, you know, you're in these shootouts because your defense can't get off the field.
Yeah.
Like, last year was, you know, it was ridiculous. If they didn't score at least 37 points, like there was no way for them to win. The one thing about Burrow, and this is maybe a little bit more global, we all know that he's an amazing quarterback. We can see the talent, and he's actually going to factor into our great debate coming up at the top of the hour. But considering he's now been a two-time comeback player of the year, right? So he's had two seriously injured seasons. Rookie year, obviously, where he only played 10 games, and then 2023, where he also only played 10 games. Now he played two games, and he's going to be out for at least a month. 3 months, excuse me. Is he ever going to be healthy enough to be considered one of the all-time great quarterbacks? Right? Like, is he going to end up having the body of work? I know we have to project a little bit out here.
Yeah.
But is he ever going to end up being healthy enough to be in the conversation where his talent would clearly put him?
Nope. I don't think he's going to be, like, we're talking, like, he could be Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, like,
definitely
fourth, fifth, sixth all-time list.
I think he's that talented.
I do, too. I do not think it's going to happen. I think it's, there's obviously going to be Carson Palmer comparisons at some point. Palmer eventually had enough at Cincinnati, demanded his way out of there around 30, 31. I think that's more likely than him ending up with an Aaron Rodgers 4 MVP kind of career. I mean,
but do you think it's if he's injury prone, does it matter where he's playing?
Yes, I mean, you asked me, is this on? Yeah, I do think it matters.
Yeah.
I kind of do. I think it's just a messy situation. Cincinnati, their owner came out in the offseason and explained their financial strategy toward players, and it made no sense. It made Jerry Jones look like a sound GM. I just don't think the Bengals, and to your point, like they're not building the right way. They paid their wide receivers, but they didn't want to pay Trey Hendrickson. I don't know. They just seem like a total mess. I think he could have success somewhere else. It's not easy, because he's going to be older by the time he gets out of there, right? I mean, how long has he signed?
Well, he's in the middle of a really big deal, but you would imagine like these deals get redone and redone. And I wonder about Joe if he would have the stomach to actually leave Ohio, because you kind of are turning your back on the fan base when you do something like that. Carson Palmer didn't have any attachment to the state of Ohio. You know, there's a Joe Burrow hometown. I know he's not from Cincinnati necessarily.
Cincinnati's a bit different. It's not like, you know, Dan Patrick was from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure, because it's a big state. I'm not sure that being in Cincinnati is so important to him. But you could be right, but I think he could leave Cincinnati. Go to L.A.
The Rams?
I mean, eventually, I'm thinking basketball, but all the big stars end up going out west at some point. Yeah, I don't know. I could see it. I could see
that would
this.
Have to get messy, though. Like, Carson Palmer had to get messy. He had to be away from the team. That trade didn't go through for weeks.
It's the Bengals. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. They create a mess. I think that they're a little lower profile, so they don't get the attention the Dallas Cowboys do, but they're not that different.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Would Joe Burrow turn heel like that? And I'm not saying that people necessarily faulted Carson Palmer, but it's a big step. I know we're used to it in the NBA where guys ask for trades all the time and somehow make up, I guess, like mend fences later, but it's not the same when you have a franchise quarterback like that.
Well, one thing too, I don't think any quarterback in their right mind would leave Jamar Chase right now.
No, he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, just, and by the way, T. Higgins is not far behind. That's why I'm more into this Bengals team right now. I am dying to see this Minnesota-Cincinnati game. Will tell us a lot, because Jake Browning is a very high-end backup.
Yeah, I mean, he threw three picks when he came in. Although, to be fair to him, he didn't know he was going to be starting that day. I know you're always prepared as a backup, but he got thrown into the game.
He could be like a Jeff Hostetler type, like a very high-end competent, or Gus Frerotte, like that kind of guy. I think he could win some games.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is Joe Burrow not going to be considered one of the all-time greats because of his injury history? Maggie Perloff.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.